Hello.
Where you're just in time, we're just getting started.
Okay.
And
actually, I'm going to sit
close, lean in. I'm telling you, this is a great lesson. But anyways, last week we started going, yeah, go right ahead. Go. Yeah, you can get up and move out.
I had fun.
But we are multitaskers. If you want to go get tea or run over there or do some, that never bothers me. Anyways, last week we had a, hi, oh, nice to see you. Oh my goodness, look at you. We're talking about lilies today.
Oh my goodness, that is so funny. You are so beautiful.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. This is so beautiful. Wow.
This is gorgeous. But we will talk about the lily today. So I'll keep it here for our object lessons. So I love object lessons.
So, but last week we kind of left at an introduction. And to put it briefly, because we do have several new people, I hope you guys don't mind, just real briefly, in the 1900s, a lot of the, I want to say, old masters started, and they stopped teaching this book as it pertains to Christ's relationship with his church, and they started teaching it on the physical relationship of marriage. But we're going back to the spiritual teaching of this book, which is what a lot of the, you know, masters of the faith teach, and showing how this can relate to your relationship to Christ. And it's so beautiful as you start to really, you know, just, I really want you to get lost in this, because I feel like after this week, I know that first week was a little tough because it is an allegory. And in the back of your handout, can you get Janet's handout? And in the back of your handout, you'll see that there's some word pictures and stuff to make a little bit more sense. But it's a little tough to get into, but once you get into it, you can even start to peek ahead and you'll find yourself really relating to the whole thing differently automatically. So you'll see, as you start to see what God's trying to show you here, it'll just grow and grow and grow. But the first song, Song of Solomon, is divided into, you know, I think it's five different songs, and they all relate to a different aspect of our relationship with Christ. The first one is just to relate and know how much Christ loves you. And I think we were really getting a hold of that last week as the maiden was like wanting to get to know the Lord more, but feeling a little bit like in his presence, as she would go in his presence, she'd feel like, oh man, I have issues like that I haven't dealt with, or that I have dealt with it. He's like, you are beautiful to me, just like you are. I love you. You're beautiful. And I feel like this whole first part is so important. And for those of you that didn't come last week, if you want to go to my website, there's the first class from my last class on there. I haven't put this one on there yet, but I have plans. But anyways, you can always listen to the first one from last time, and you can just see, and you know, sometimes it's just really good to know Jesus loves me, you know, Jesus loves me. It's just a lesson we just have to really carry with us. It's very empowering, and we're going to see in this second part how it empowers her. But first, she's just got to realize just how much he loves her. And I just love this part because I feel like it's something we always need to remind ourselves of. So we see her at the beginning of this lesson, and we're starting song two. So at the beginning of the second chapter, we see that she is lovesick. She's fallen in love with God. Like, she's realizing how much he loves her, and she sees how beautiful he is to her. And she says, I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. She's starting to see how he sees her. You know, at first she's saying, I'm a rose of Sharon. A rose is a very beautiful thing, but a rose in Sharon was very plentiful. She might be saying like, yeah, I'm kind of just, you know, I'm beautiful, but I'm just one of many, you know. And the lily of the valley is referring to the lily that grows in the depths of the valley where only the Lord can see her. So she realizes like, I might be ordinary, but you know what? I am still beautiful in his sight. And he sees me. And he's starting to get that awareness that he sees me. For a while, that thou God seest me, it just, I don't know if I was teaching it to one of my grandkids or my kids or what, but but I feel like sometimes it just hits you like, thou God seest me. And every time I turn around, that verse would be reminded to my heart, like, you see me. Like, when somebody else doesn't understand you, God, you see me. Like, if you're going through a hard time and you feel like, wow, does anybody notice what I'm doing around here? Like, but God sees you. Or if you're really sad about something and maybe no one really seems to understand, like, you see me. Like, he knows you and he sees you. And just that awareness, I think, is just so powerful to carry around with you, you know. But I feel like this is what she's starting to really get a hold of. She's walking through her house and going, you see me. You really care. Like, your eye is on me. You see me. You know what I'm going through. In Psalm 2:2, it says, as the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. So now the king is saying, yeah, you're a lily, but you're among thorns. I see you as so beautiful. And, you know, the among these thorns, he places her in moral contrast to the people around her, just because she has set out her heart to go after him, to really want to know him. You know, he sees her standing out already in her beauty amongst those thorns. You know, it says in Philippians 2:15, he wants us to be blameless and harmless, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. He made us and he wants us to shine as lights. You know, it's really beautiful. I know Gary was speaking to the men like last week, and just, he really just felt like the Lord just prompting him to say, you know, you guys, we want to stand out as special. And he challenged them to like clean up their language. You know, it's just like, we want people to know that we are different. We're going to put all those things that the Bible says about those profanity, foolish talking, jesting, which aren't convenient. We're going to put all those things away. And he challenged them to like clean up their mouth so that people would recognize that there was something different about them, that purity, that holiness, you know. And it's been really exciting because this week he's heard several reports on how that's really, you know, stepped up some of the guys' games. And it's been really a powerful challenge. And I feel like that's what God wants. He said that there's going to be false teachers among us. He said, there must be false teachers among you so that the truth will be made manifest and shine even brighter. So we really want to shine bright in this time. And I feel like God is saying, you know, I've got you. And sometimes, you know, I want you to know you're among thorns, but you are beautiful and you're growing there. And I see you as a lily among those thorns. He said, you know, you're a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood. You know, he said that you're a peculiar people. It's okay if you're a little peculiar. I like that one. So that you can show forth the praises of him that called you out of darkness into his glorious light. So it's just, it also reminds you that your real quest for God is going to be in the midst of a crooked generation. You know, sometimes it might seem like, wow, you know, I'm here in this hidden place, like no one sees my Bible study. Everyone else has all this time, and here I am. I'm in this Bible study, and you know, take this time for this. And this. But you know what? This is amongst the thorns, and those thorns in the parable of the sower are given of those things that choke out the word in our lives. And there's so many distracting things that just choke out the word, that seed could be planted, and before it even can take root, the thorns just choke out the life of it. And so that's just a reminder here too. Your lily is growing among thorns, you know, that can choke it out. So that awareness of that, you know, and Jesus's prayer to the garden, he said, these are in the world. The world hates them because they're not of the world, even as I am not of the world. And he says, I don't pray that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil. And so that's his prayer. He's saying, you know, you are as a lily among thorns. And she just is so content to sit under his shadow. In Psalm 2:3, you see her, she says, as an apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight. His fruit is sweet to my taste. So she is content to sit in the shadow. And you know, if you're gonna sit in someone's shadow, that's pretty close. You know, it's following him. It's right in his presence, you know, and that's where she wants to sit, close. You know, she's got, there's other companions of God, but she doesn't want to be around them hearing their revelation of him. She wants to sit right next to him and see, and right in the reflection of who he is to her personally. And I love that. And I love that she's there with the fruit. She's enjoying his fruit, the fruit of his spirit in her life. You know, and I just think that's so powerful. But, and it says in 2 Peter 1:4, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises so we can be partakers of his divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. So as we sit in his, in the secret place of the Most High, in that shadow, it says, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I love that. That is the beginning of Psalm 91, which is the psalm for his protection over us. And that's where we can be protected because we're enjoying the fruit of his spirit. We're close enough to hear his voice. We're sitting right next to him with his fruits, and he's right there with us. In Psalm 121, it says, the Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. I love these verses, especially now. There's so many things that want to feed fear in people. And, you know, the more we know about what's going on in the world, the less fearful we should be, because we sit right in his shadow. Like all these promises, these fear nots that are over and over and over in the scriptures. And you know, it's easy to quote them, but when someone we love is wrestling with life and death issues, or we are comforting people that we know that are dealing with death with their loved ones, or, you know, people are going through so much and the prices are raising, people are having real issues. But you know what? The more that is, like, you can just know that when he speaks those words in scripture to you, he's speaking them right to you. These words, he said in the word of God, are written to them upon whom the ends of the earth are come. So these words all apply to our lives. And whenever you open the Bible, like, to me, that is his love story right to you. If you open and you're reading it, you take that promise and you hold it, and that's right to you. We have no reason to fear. Like, he's right with us. It says, the Lord will preserve you from all evil. He'll preserve your soul. He'll preserve your going out and your coming in from this time and forever. And so here she's at the banqueting table with him. And in Psalm 2:4, she says, he brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Now, remember, last week we saw him at the table, and she wasn't with him. But now we see something happening here. He's bringing her with him to the table. And I love that. There's, you know, God is interested in motion. He wants you to go from glory to glory to glory to glory. Don't ever be content to stay the same with him. He's always got more for you. And I love that when we serve such an infinite, omnipresent, omniscient God, that no matter how much we have of him, we can always have more. And so I just love that, you know, you can see in this song and in our lives, like, he always will bring us, like, into, like, do different degrees with him. He wants us to ascend with him. And we're going to see how he loves her so much when he first, you know, she first encounters him. He loves her, and she's like seeing him for the first time. She's just like aware of him. And she's like, you know, I got issues, you know. I can bless the Lord, you know, all that is within me, but there's some stuff that's not going to bless the Lord, you know. But he's like, you're beautiful to me. And I want you to get a hold of that. You are beautiful to me right there. But you know what? I have so much for you that I'm not going to leave you right there. So I've got more for you. Yes, you're beautiful to me. Yes, I love you. Yes, my eye is on you. And yes, I'm all for you. Christ for me. Yes, yes, and yes. In fact, you're going to see, he even tells her, stop and pause and reflect on that and get it, because we're going places together. You know, and I just love that. So now he brings her places that she couldn't go without him.
Sorry, I couldn't hear what you said.
Here she goes again. She always wants in on this lesson. But she brings him places like she couldn't go with him. You know, she couldn't go there without him. Now she's, because of his presence in her life, she's at the banqueting table. You know, it's that time when you take your bologna sandwich and he's like, I just want your bologna sandwich. I mean, just give me your bologna sandwich. I want you to partake of all of who I am, but just, I expect you to give your bologna sandwich to me and then I'll let you have everything that pertains to this life and eternity in godliness and everything. That all I have is yours. And she's like, I'm keeping the bologna sandwich. If she only knew that she could just give that up and have all of him, and that's what he requires of us, is to give him all of us, you know. But so we see that the thing that's over her and the banner over us is the banner over us is his love. You know what? He is your confidence. He will keep your foot from being taken. I used to say that to the kids. I'd be like, you know, don't worry about that. The Lord is your confidence. You're not confident in what you're wearing. You're not confident in this. The Lord is your confidence. And we go out with his love over us. It should dispel anything of our self-consciousness, this, or what you don't have, and the Eve syndrome and this. You know what? His banner over us is love. And he brings us right with him because of his presence to his banqueting table. And beautiful. And then I love what she says. Now she's starting to receive from him. Did you ever get to a point where you're like, I can't take that. My daughter wanted to take me on this special trip this weekend. She's like, you're not buying anything. I'm taking it. No, I have not done that in a long time. But she was just like, every time it was so awkward. Like I'm the mom, you know what I mean? The parents lay up for the kids, you know? So here I am on this weekend every time I'm like, let me just pay for it. Nope, I'm just like, oh, thanks. I'm just like, ooh. It was really awkward, but it's just like, I said, wow, you're spoiling me rotten. You know, and I feel like this is when you learn to receive, you know, we got to get better at receiving, you know? When you learn to receive, this is the way you feel. It says, I feel, oh, wait, what did she say something first? Stay me with wagons, comfort me with apples. I'm sick of love. She said, his left hand is under my head and he holds me up while his right hand is embracing me. He's just pouring it on, you know, and she can't even stand because she's just like sick of love. She's lovesick and it's just, she feels like he's just pouring everything on her. And, you know, sometimes you just feel like that from God where you're just like, wow, God really spoils me, you know. I must be his favorite. But it's like, I just love that. And you know, it's really beautiful because the more you get of Jesus, the more you want. It's kind of like when you go on vacation, you eat a bunch of junk food and you come back, you're like, I'm clean eating, you know? And then you start clean eating and you're like, yeah, juice. Yeah, well, not as much fun as the vacation food, you know? But then you start craving it, because it's so healthy and you feel so good. And then you start wanting more and more, you know, you want to eat clean, you know? And so I feel like, you know, the more you experience Jesus, you get into his word one day, you're like, I'm going to really do this Bible study. And then you're like, I can't wait to get back to that Bible study. I'm not content with this other stuff or what he's shown or song or, you know, I need more. And I feel like that's what we've got to get ourselves to, is so that we're hungry for more of him, you know? And it's not, people who don't experience that and press into it, you live in the peripheral vision. You might go to church and you pick up your Bible once in a while, but it's just enough where you're stopping at that spot where she was going, yeah, I got issues, but God, you're really great. But but, and you stop there. And God is not interested in you stopping there. He wants you to go more and more and more and more and more. So I feel like he's like, I have a love that's going to expand your capacity, your hunger, and your vision, and you're never going to be content without it increasing. That's what I have for you. And I love this because she's going to get to a place, you know, where, you know, I love it because this is the, remember, this is the relationship of the bride. This is not a casual relationship that God is after. When he says in Revelation, like at the very end, and he says, even so, you know, it says the Spirit and the bride say, even so, come Lord Jesus. And he says he's coming back for his bride, for a church without spot or wrinkle. You know, he's coming back for someone who knows him intimately, not just someone who's going through the motions, not just someone just stuck in this point here. He's coming back for somebody who literally is looking for his coming. Like when he said all the signs of the end days in Matthew 24, right at the beginning of Matthew 25, he says, at the same time, here comes the 10 virgins. Some of them with oil, some of them without oil, but nevertheless, they're all virgins. The oil, the Holy Spirit, some of them were without the oil. They had the consecration, but they didn't have enough oil and to look and wait for their bridegroom. But he came back for the ones that are really like, Jesus is coming. I go, Jesus, what do I want him finding me doing? What does he want me to do right now in my life? Like, I'm making way. He's my beloved. My eyes are fixed. I've got dove's eyes. They're focused on one thing. And he's coming back for his bride. And when you're a bride, you have eyes for one person, and that's your husband. You're waiting for that betrothed. You're waiting to have that union. And we're going to see at the very end, like, you know, and I do love that there's different parts of your relationship with God that are important. And I love the, in Revelation, when he talks to all the churches, you know, goes through all the churches, and they all get like a reward if they overcome. And if you go through it, a lot of people that study that, they say it's like church ages. So each church represents a certain church age. Then there's another school of thought that says it's, well, we know it's definitely to certain churches of the time, but then it could also refer to us to church ages. And they say that we're in the Laodicean church, where it's like we're lukewarm and we think that we're so rich that we have need of nothing. And he says, you are not rich. You are poor and naked and blind and wretched. And I want you to be like gold tried in the fire. I want you to have eyes saved so you can see. I want you to have a white garment so you would be clothed the right way that I have for you. And you know what the reward is to that bride, to that Laodicean church? And to you, if you overcome, I will have you to sit with me in the throne room. Now, is that not a husband, that the bride of Christ position that would be sitting with him in the throne room? Yeah, it's nice to have the white stone with a new name on it. It's nice to, you know, have all the other, you know, cool gifts and everything. But to be sitting right next to him on the throne is what his plan is for us. But he wants that place is reserved for his bride, for the one who's one with him. So it's really exciting. But anyways, so she gets into this contentment right there. She pauses. I love when the Bible says, Selah, stop and think about that, you know. But she pauses. And the Holy Spirit saying, I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and the hinds in the field, don't stir up or awake love till he pleases. In other words, let her stop and just have this love poured on her. Stop. Like when I first gave my life to Christ, I had Dominic Russo Sr. and Paul Carollo Sr. And they said to me, don't. You know what? We were like, we're going to go change the world for Jesus. And like, you know, and they were like, no, just get to know him. Paul went up for 14 years and spent time just getting to know him. Like, just get to know him. And then it would be an overflow and not an outward show. And it was just like such a powerful admonition for us, because then as a couple, we just sought him, you know. It was just a really beautiful time in our lives. Like just seeking God, you know. But I felt like, you know, it says, he's like, don't stir love This is a good season. Let her sit before him. Let her grow. Let her realize her identity in me, in Christ. Let her know who she is in me. You know, I want this. I don't need activity. But what does the world say? Do more. Do more. Like, you got to do this. You got to do that. Sure. And sometimes God's saying, no. I want some Marys sitting at my feet, knowing my, hearing my voice, knowing my word. I love that. And that actually, this little admonition here is, this charge is given three times throughout this book at different stages of her maturity. So I think it's just good to note that if you ever feel yourself like in a season where you just can't, just wait on the Lord. He'll tell you, hey, I always say, when the cloud moves, move. You know, like when the Israelites were following the cloud and the fire, right? You know, fire by night or by day and cloud by night. Like I say, you know what? Sometimes that cloud stayed. You know when they moved? When the cloud moved. You know when we move? When someone else wants us to, when someone needs us to sign up for something, you know, then we move. But you know what? Make sure it's God. He might be having you in a place where it's just like, hey, you're going through rough seasons right now. Let me just show you I'm here with you. Then you'll be ready to go. I just love that. Do you like that? Did you have something that you wanted to share about that? Anyways, and that's a good thing too, if you're used to meddling in other people's stuff, to getting to encourage them, because not even meddling, sometimes you really mean well, but sometimes it's really good to remember to, like, you know, find out where they're at before we pull them into activity that might be without, you know, the foundation that God wants to, you know, prep them with, you know. So that we see this first song ending, and I love this song. I want to just stay here forever, and I do. I try to, but, you know, she loves him, but there's been no testing yet. Well, the second time when we see the second name of the second song is showing faltering love. So we're going to see it get a little tested. And she's going to say no to him. So we're going to see what happens. And he sticks with her, so don't worry. it might be you, but he sticks with us. So, but she was only on the receiving end, and he hasn't received any fruits of his labor yet. So in other words, she has the Lord, but he doesn't have all of her yet. So that's why this is Christ for me. But now there's a call for her to escape from herself. And as we're, here's the question, are you ready to get deeper with the Lord? So in the development of your spiritual affections for God, there's four things that you see in this psalm. First of all, it's a power of the resurrection life. The voice of my beloved, it says in 2:8, behold, he comes leaping on the mountains, skipping on the hills. I love that. And it just slides out my tongue. I want to go leaping on the mountains, skipping on the hills. Mountains and hills in scripture, a lot of times depict adversity and, you know, and things that are just in the way. You know, you have to go, you know, how long are you going to go around this mountain? You know, get to the promised land, you know, get into the mountain, you know, overcome this mountain. I'm able to take this mountain. You see so many times in scripture over and over about the mountains of adversity, you know, and it says, my beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he stands behind our wall. Okay, first of all, let's talk about the wall. It's not Jesus's wall with you. It might be your wall, but it's not his wall. But sometimes, you know, he's making it our wall. And it says he looked in at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. Oh, the wall has a window. Okay, so God can even make a window in your wall because he wants you to see him leaping on the mountains and skipping on the hills. Because he wants to call you out from behind that enclosure that you've closed yourself in with him. And you're like, hey, this is good. We're up on the mountaintop. I'm seeing the transfiguration. And I think it was Peter says, let's build a tabernacle here, God, and stay here. Because I love this supernatural Bible study. It might be you at the beginning of the day. Yes, I'm in this Bible study. I'm not going to do this to-do list today because this is really good. And God's like, no, 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 no. I've got a place for you to go. Yes, I'm here on the mountaintop. Yes, I'm here on the Mount of Transfiguration. But you know what? And yes, I'm here in your wall, in your Bible study time. I'm here in your comfort zone inside of your house. But there's a world out there. And I have something special to show you. That world can beat you up. And so what I want you to do is I want you to see me leaping on the mountains and skipping on the hills. And then I got a little revelation for you. I want you to go with me. I want to show you how to leap on the mountains and skip on the hills. I want to show you how to put adversity under your feet with me. I want you to come with me because I've got something bigger for you than to stay here. And, you know, she loves to hear his voice. But we see him wanting her to follow him in the swiftness and the victory that's all depicted by the roe and the hart, just skipping right over things. And she gets a glimpse of it, but he wants her to follow him. And she shuts him out. She doesn't even know that it's detrimental to fellowship. She's going to say, hey, God, see our wall here? I got you all in this little space that I've got you in my life. And that is really cool, isn't it? And he's like, no, I want you to see the window. I'm going to show myself through the lattice, you know, like a pie crust lattice. I want you to see me and know that I have something bigger and better for you. So I think it's really beautiful. If you've been there, like you need to learn more of his power for spiritual warfare and for service. And that's where he's calling each one of us. He's going to show you why he didn't just get you saved and zap you up into heaven while you were pure and spotless right there. He's got work for you to do. And we're going to see how awesome it is to go with him there. We see him standing. He's standing before the lattice. He's not sitting. He's ready for action. I love that Jesus is an action God because I love action. And I feel like he's ready to move here. He's like, yep, I gave you a little time here. I wanted you to know I love you, but now let's go, you know? And so he wants her not to just have her self-enclosed position, but allow him to lead her. Remember in John 21 where he said to Peter, he said, when you were young, you girded yourself and you went wherever you wanted to go. But when you're old, you're going to let me gird you and carry you where you wouldn't necessarily go. And I got to tell you, like, I am, you know, I've been walking with the Lord for a long time now. And I will tell you that when I first got saved and what God used me for, it was never what I thought he would use me for. It was always things that were so out of my comfort zone. I always had to depend on him. I was like, I just remember even arguing with him, like saying, I'm not saying that. It's just like, and God, can you just say every word I'm supposed to say, and then I'll say it. If you say it, I mean, I had one prayer meeting where God gave me a word of knowledge, and I was not like really into that. I like the other, you know, things, but, you know, and all of a sudden there was all these prophetic people there. And I was just waiting like some God, you know, and all of a sudden one of them just said, if you have a word, it was Joanne, if you have a word from God, will you speak it out? And then I spoke it out with fear and trembling. And then afterwards it was someone, everybody went home and I got this little newsletter I'd received all the time, and it was just confirmation, just because God knew I needed the confirmation. He's so gentle and kind, but I made decisions in my life. I said, I don't care what, I am never going to let myself stand in the way of what God wants to give me. And I made it right about then. I was just like, God wants to bring you to a different place. Don't get in the way. If he tells you, go up to the altar, don't miss out on that blessing. If he tells you to speak something out, even if it's uncomfortable, just do it. His grace will back you up every time. I mean, and I was, a guy at my church was saying, he said, Mrs. Pazinski, you know, I bet you don't remember me. I go, oh, yes, I do. I go, I sat with your mom when my babysitter had to get home. And it was at the end of a class I was teaching. And I was just anxious to get home. And your mom was telling me how she couldn't have any kids. And she was like, I'm going to the doctor and this and this and this is wrong. And God kept saying, tell her that I want to heal her. And I was like, I am not saying that. Like, what if that's not you? I can't like just tell her. She's got all these doctors. I'm just thinking, oh my goodness, you know, my whole reputation could go. And I was just like, and I couldn't shake it off my spirit. Finally, I just looked at her because I wasn't listening to her at this point. I'm talking to God. And I just said, you know what? God wants to heal you. She's like, he does? And I said, yeah. I said, actually, I have to go, but you could come to my house because we have a prayer meeting. We'll pray. And that was Lisa. And she got healed and she had four kids. She came and got healed and God gave her four kids. And I go, I do remember you, but I just didn't know that on the other side of my obedience would be such a good friend to so many of my kids. It's just so funny. Wow. So seriously, when you really do start to get in this position with God, don't second guess. He's patient. He's kind. If you have to fall, he'll pick you back up. It's okay. Like, don't ever miss out on what he has because he has so much beyond your limited understanding that you're not going to get it all the time. So if you want to operate in the supernatural, it is going to take you really like stepping out into that.
Just recently we were teaching on this and the way that we were built with our soul and spirit, and part of that is the operation of our mind, right? So we reason everything. Like Christ said, that when he comes and the Holy Spirit comes in us after we believe him and comes inside us in the temple, what he gives us is he says to put on the mind of Christ. You know, the mind of Christ that they didn't have reason, the spirit. So we're trying to reason things that God's trying to tell us because he's speaking to us because he's in us. And he said, well, I never heard from him. No, he's in us and he speaks. He was not listening to him. It always speaks, but we're trying to reason it versus just believe it, mm-hmm. not doubt it. And when he does, that's his part of it. So I just knew it would have been, it really helped these men because they're afraid of, I don't know about you, but men are just trying to be logical about everything. And I said, well, man, just like God, if God's speaking to you, because men have been saying, I don't hear from God, I said, no, you read the word. Yes. Well, he's speaking to you. That's the first step. Second step is he's actually inside. He spells my voice and don't reason what he says. Mm-hmm. Just believe. That's how you came to Christ. You believe. And just believe in faith because without faith, it's impossible to please him. So anyways, that was just something.
That's beautiful. No, and it's so true. So we're going to fall into this deeper call because behind that wall that you may have set up for yourself and your private prayer time and our, you know, understanding and limiting God to all that. You know, Isaiah 61 is such a beautiful thing. Like God has other things to do. He's got to liberate captives. He's got to free people who are bound. He's got to proclaim liberty. This is what he was created. This is what he died for, is to destroy the works of the devil. And how he's going to do it is he's going to do it through his people. And so, you know, he wants us to follow with him into that resurrection power. And we're going to see that over and over when you're studying the word of God. Like you get to Romans 6, 7, and 8, and you see like, wow, we start out in 6 and, you know, should we continue in sin for grace divine? And then we go into 7. Oh my gosh, the things I want to do, I'm not doing. And the things I don't want to do, I'm doing. Oh, wretched man that I am, who's going to deliver me? And then all of a sudden we get to Romans 8 where we can walk in the spirit. And he's got this for us because he wants us to get through. And first you're going to find even in Romans 6, 7, and 8 that he brings you through his death. And so that you, if you died with him, then you're going to be raised with him because death has no more dominion over you. He wants you to walk in that resurrection life to get outside of your wall so that you can help and you can go be co-labor with him and you can leap on your mountains and skip on your hills and you can go and you can help and you can be working with him in the fields. And there's nothing greater than that. That's the, you know, reason that he leaves us here on this earth. So he wants us to be co-laborers. And read Isaiah 61 in that connection. It's such a beautiful one. I love that. I made that my life chapter. But So we're going to go into something deep here with this resurrection life. And this is one of my favorite ones too. I love all these. My beloved spoke and said to me, rise up. Just get that. Rise up, my love, my fair one. Come away. The winter is past. The rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing, the birds has come. And the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. He's given her possession. She gives him a wall. Like, hey, Lord, see our wall here? He's like, nope, I see our land. I like that. You know, he wants her to see what his idea of possession with her is. You know, I see our land. And he talks about the fig tree putting forth their figs and the vines giving a good smell. Arise, and he says it again, arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. Oh, that's so beautiful. Stop enclosing your life. I've made you to everywhere you go that your feet will tread. I've given you our land. I don't want you to be closed up, shut up in a little corner somewhere. You are mine. I want you to come with us. And, you know, and a lot of it, like, you know, she wanted to just stay there because she didn't want to be robbed of her peace and going out in the world. It can really take you down. I'm just going to let you know, I mean, you can, when you start co-laboring with him, you have to be through these parts with him. You've got to be skipping on the hills and the mountains because they will come. You know, you've got to know that he loves you because you might have to experience some plagues like the Israelites did. You might not see everything going spot on like Moses didn't see everything spot on. You know, there's some adversities you're going to have to deal with, but he's going to let her see him in such a way that will not threaten her relationship with him. In fact, it'll strengthen it. And as she leans on him working with her beloved in his field, and he comes into her garden, it's just so exciting. But as this all starts happening, then she is able with him to do it because he does it with her. And it's just, that's what he wants. So it talks about the resurrection life. And, you know, a lot of times when the winter, like right now, we're starting to see all the flowers bloom. I was at my sister's today. I'm like, look at your crocus. Look at these. You know, my bulbs turned into expensive deer food, but she's got really beautiful flowers everywhere. Really expensive deer food. But I'm so mad. But anyways, all that, the stuff that was going on underground, you can see now. But guess what? It was always there. It was just underground, you know? And that's what we need. We need that underground life working. But then when it's coming to full bloom, this is where he's saying, come on, let's go away. And so I love that. So he's leading her out of the winter conditions and persuading her to come forth. He's calling her to our land. And it's a land you don't know, but you own it with him. And I love where he talks about, you know, the vine. And he says in John 15:2, every branch that doesn't bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges. So he brings forth more fruit. So he's telling her, come away. You know, this is the time. It's spring. We're seeing all this beautiful growth. But she enjoyed his presence at the table. And that's great. I'm glad that, you know, that's where I see people who go, yeah, all I want to do is just spend, I don't really study the word. I just want to just spend time in worship. I'm like, oh, so you want to like say stuff to him, but you don't want him talking, right? Like that's what it is, you know? I go, that's a danger sign to me when I see that. Like worship is great. And I think that there's a time for it, but then you get in, like he has something to say to you too. And we got to make time for him to speak to us too. So, but he's like, I want partnership. I don't want someone just enjoying my presence. Yes, my presence is great, but I want something more. Like I want something deeper with my people. So he wants her to minister in resurrection power. And he wants her to leave herself to go to these mountaintops. And she's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. That throws off everything. First of all, I don't like heights. I don't like surprises. And forget about the risk. I was right here. you come to me at my table. That's good. I like that. That's comfortable. I can do it. I mean, yeah, I mean, and he's like, no, no, no. I want you with me in partnership. I want to challenge that comfort zone you're living in. I've got more for you. I've got supernatural life. It's not what you think. And it's not going to be done the way you think it is. And it's probably going to be using you and your weakness and not your strength. Because in the process of you working with me, I want to make you stronger. So it's probably going to be calling you out of yourself and making you a little uncomfortable so that you can lean on me and get to know me more. Again, the analogy of the dad working with the son in the garage. Does he really, you know, need us working? But he wants that to be used as a time of training and getting closer. So it's just a beautiful word picture. And he's like, unless you rise up, you're never going to get what I have for you. And she's like, yeah, well, I'm not leaving the shade tree. You'll find out she says no. So then he says, oh, my dove, you're in the clefts of the rock. He says, oh, my dove that art in the clefts of the rock and the secret places of the stairs. Let me see your countenance. Let me hear your voice. Your voice is sweet and your countenance is comely. He wants her to take place in the cleft of the rock. And that cleft of the rock speaks of the resurrection. And it's like, it's the crucified life that brings her to the resurrection. The cleft of the rocks is the part where he's like, anything that's unrenewed might die. He wants her life to be controlled by his resurrection. He wants her to be moved out wherever he leads, and a co-laborer that he says in Matthew 20:28, he says, even the Son of Man didn't come to be ministered to, but to give his life a ransom for many. And it shows like he wants to know, you know, what she knows about the cross is at this point shallow. I always challenge people this. I said, well, you know, I'll ask kids this, especially because I love working with kids and talking to them. And I'll say, you know, why did Jesus die for you? He died for our sins. Why? Because he loves us. But why did he die for you? You know, and, you know, we always concentrate. We can concentrate that he died for our sins. Yay, freedom from sin. That's awesome. That's our position in him. But what about our relational part to him? He died because our sins separated us from having a deep, intimate relationship with him. And now we can come boldly to the throne of grace. So all those scriptures come together with that. It is. It's like you have to say, well, why did he die for your sins? He didn't just die for your sins so that you can be free from sin. He died for your sins so he could know you intimately. And just like when he says, you search the scriptures because you think you have life in them, but it's the scriptures that testify of me. Like, you know, your Bibles, the Jewish, you know, scribes and Pharisees, they walked around with the Bible parts in their phylacteries and all this stuff. And they had all this knowledge of the word and all this knowledge of the rules. But you know what? He's like, wait a minute, guys, you know, I want you to be in my word, but my word, if you get to know the things I say, you're supposed to know me better from it. Like, I'm really drawing you to me with my word. Like, if my word isn't drawing you to me, then you're not hearing what I'm saying. Because the more people, like, if I want to know you, I just listen to what you say. I'm going to know you. And when I start to get to know you, I want to hear more of what you have to say. Like, I, you know, when you really love someone, you want to hear what they think about things. And like, God bless you. We substitute his word for his presence sometimes. But his word should be making us more aware of his intimate presence in our life and helping us with that intimacy, you know. So he's calling her. This is really bad. I should really say that. Wait a minute. So she doesn't know the cross in a deeper way. So I love when it says that he is calling her something that she's quite not yet, because he said, oh, my dove, that are in the clefts of the rock, in the secret place, let me see your countenance, because sweet is your voice, your countenance is comely. So he calls those things that be not as though they were. I always did that with my kids too. Call those things that be not. My little Hannah used to wake up all grumpy. I'm like, happy Hannah. Hi. My Krista, she was very, very strong. Well, I'm like, you know, kind, courageous Krista cooperation. Now she's all those things. She really is all those things. But when she was little, she forgot where she was headed. Just for a minute. She was so strong, though. I knew, like, I did not want to break her spirit. And I think so many times when we're, especially with kids, you know how that goes. But so many times it's easy to break their spirit because you call out what they are instead of drawing them to what they should be. Mm-hmm. So it's offensive versus defensive parenting. So I feel like, you know, when you call them into who they're made to be, right where they're at, it's a different kind of parenting rather than helping them plant in a very immature understanding of their gifts. You know, like I'm telling you, I could see my kids' gifts when they were super young and they're all operating in them, you know? Like I always knew Jesse had this crazy discernment and just things that I saw with my kids. And it is really beautiful because God will show you, but inside of those gifts, there's a lot of times a misuse of those gifts. And then as a parent, I feel like just to draw them towards what God made them to be rather than pounding them, making them focus on what they are in the misuse of the gifts, you know? So that's just a little relationship thing thrown in there. But anyways, that's what he did with her. So, and he wants her to rise above the earthly ways. He said, rise, calling her to the secret place of the stairs. Oh man, we could go on that forever. I'll let you guys all take that one home and study the daylights out of it this week because you will never end with it. Because Hebrews says, you put all things in subjection under his feet. There's nothing under him. And then when Jacob fell asleep and had his head on the hard place at Peniel, he saw a ladder going to heaven, that secret place of the stairs where he wrestled with God and he got that word from God. Like, you know what? The secret place of the stairs. I just love that. And so that's what he's calling us to, the secret place of the stairs, the ascent. Rise up, come away, rise up. And sometimes if that word just keeps resounding in your spirit this week, and at some point you find yourself in the middle of an activity or in the middle of a thought pattern that's wrecking you and making you more fit for the earth than eternity, then just say, rise up, my beloved, my fair one, and come away. You know, go higher. Let's go to the secret place of the stairs. You know, I just love that. So in the first song, she was the center of attraction. And now look who is getting first place, the king. Now she's looking at him and she's paying attention. You know, why arise? Because you know what? We need to live out this message of the cross. It's this Christian life is not just enjoyment for us. It is a satisfaction and delight of the Lord and all that is his own, like in us. He's got an inheritance in us. Yes, we have an inheritance in him. It's so easy to get caught in that. It is so easy to stick there. But you know what? He has something he wants to see in us too. And I love that. But then we see removing hindrances. And in Psalm 215, she says, take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. This is actually spoken by the beloved. And they have reference to the blossoming vines that he just referred to earlier, the vines that bear the fruit of her spiritual life. And it's really interesting because, you know, he is the vine and we are the branches. So the fruit doesn't grow on the vine. The fruit grows on the branches. And apart from him, we can do nothing. So just like, you know, the branches that are broken off by the grapevines, you're never going to see anything growing on them. Because apart from the being attached to the vine, and oh, you can go get lost in John 14 on that one. Because it is so beautiful, like all that whole word picture. And it shows the big foxes usually will trample the vine and, you know, the place that we're connected, but the little foxes will eat all the fruit off the branches. You know, I'm sorry, it's opposite. I think it's the opposite. The damage can be done by big foxes on the vine, but the branches can still bear fruit, you know, but it's those little foxes that will go ahead and that's where the chance of fruit is destroyed. So the big foxes will kind of walk on the bigger part, but the little foxes eating the fruit. So let's look this week at all the little foxes trying to eat the fruit off of our branches and while we're abiding in him. And be aware, it's every appearance of the old life, a habit, a retrospective look, like that, not necessarily grave sins, but sometimes Ecclesiastes 10:1 says that even a dead fly will cause the ointment of apothecary to send forth stinking savor. So is a little folly in him that has a reputation for wisdom and honor. You know what? We're representing Christ to the world. Soon as you say to someone, you're a Christian, I always feel like Christian is what they call people when they look like Jesus, not what you proclaim yourself to be. But when people know that you are serving God, they tend to look for his characteristics in you. You'll even hear, I'm sure, a lot of times, you call yourself a Christian if you do something, you know? You hear that all the time. That's the first thing that people will say, like in your family doesn't know, you know, and just challenging you. But, you know, we really want to represent him, you know, so we have a reputation and we want people to see Jesus in us. But, you know, the loved one, she cannot handle these little foxes, but you see that the king is going to help her. There's need for cooperation. She's told him, my own vineyard. I was so busy with everything. I didn't even take care of my own vineyard. And he's like, okay, I'm coming in there with you. Let's clean it up. So it's a lot better when he comes in there with you, the master husbandman. You know, he's got a way to clean up those things that we couldn't probably even do on our own. So I like that. So we see the failure and the restoration. Now she responds to him. She says, my beloved is mine and I am his. He feeds among the lilies. So now she says like, oh, wow. Like, I know he's mine and I am his. And he is coming. He's feeding among these lilies, these secret things in the valleys. I belong to him. And, you know, but you have to remember what the call was. It was a beautiful revelation. I'm his, he's mine. He feeds among the lilies. He's going to rise and come away with me. Get beyond your wall. Open the door to me. And she's like, you're mine and I'm yours. You feed among the lilies. She's like, come with me. Out. Come. She's like, well, you go. Come back. I know you're mine. Just go. And I'll be here when you come back. You can tell me all about your adventures, skipping on the mountains, leaping on the hills. Just go do it. Come back. Just like when the Israelites said to Moses, they saw this burning and quaking and fire. It was a little scary. And they're just like, anybody could have gone. But they're like, why don't you go and take notes and come back? Because if we go near that mountain, something in us might die. They thought they might die, but sometimes we think something in us might have to go. So, you know, we don't want to get too close to the mountain. It's shaking, quaking, and everything might require something of us. Just, Moses, you go come back and we'll do it. Tell us what to do. We'll check it off. We're really good at lists. I am. Give me a list. I'll just mark off all the boxes. It's, you know, but nope, he's not content with that. So she's just going, you know, and she's like, I have the Lord to tend me and I'm fully satisfied. Danger of mature believers right there. I am satisfied. I got enough of Jesus. I went to church Sunday and I did my daily bread. Okay, that's good. I'm good. You know, and she's emphasizing what he is to her because she's still looking at her own life, you know, and, you know, she's not responding to his request, and she's still leaving him without an answer. And she says, until the day break and the shadows flee away. Look, there's still shadows here. I know it's not like, you know, we're not at high noon here in my life, you know. I'm still got some shadows. You know, there's a little darkness in here, you know, and I'm real comfortable behind this wall. She says, until those turn, my beloved, go. Be like a roe or a young hart on those mountains, you know. I know I'm not really, you know, it's kind of not high noon with us, you know, it requires me to overcome to go with you. And I kind of not prepared to go with you, but can you still come back to me? Like, just come back to me. I just circle back. But here, like, you know, here she's seeing she is not where the Lord is. Up to this time, he was revealing himself to her. He was there. But, you know, she's aware that he's inviting her to go with him, and she doesn't want to. But come back soon. And things turn out a lot different, though, because when he leaves, all of a sudden, she does not feel his presence anymore. Like, he hasn't forsaken her. He loves her. I mean, when you leave, you know, Mila playing in the other room to go make dinner, you didn't leave her. You just removed yourself from her. But if she doesn't know, she might think you left. That's, you know, didn't you remember when your kids, like, a lot of times, like, you're tempted to sneak out, but then you don't want your kids always thinking you're going to sneak out. So you're like, I'm leaving now. You don't want to sneak out, because then every time you do it, go around the corner, they're freaking out. Yeah. So I was like, are you going? Are you going? But, you know, and, you know, now she doesn't, she realizes, like, wow, this is her first awakening that she needs to go out with him. He's making a demand on her. I really believe the Lord does put a demand on us. Sometimes we're in the in different situations and stuff, and sometimes we have to realize that the Lord does put a demand on us. And sometimes there's enough in us to answer that demand. You have to use what he's put in you for what he requires of you. So sometimes, you know, we're content to stay behind our wall, and he'll give us all these revelations, all these incredible things, how you can overcome evil with good. And then what happens? You get called into a situation where there's evil and you don't want to be good. And it's like, I see so many situations, and we've talked about it in a lot of our relationship classes with different relationships, right? Because a lot of times it's like, you can do that. You have enough in you to get through that in the right way, and then go home, put your feet up, have iced tea, and get together with your beautiful friends, that you can handle that situation. You know, it's like so many times we're just like, oh, I can't deal with that. Yes, you can. But it's due to her immaturity, not her rebellion. She's not rebellious. She's not saying this is the way it is and that's it. She's saying, I'm afraid. Can't we just keep doing it the way we were doing it? This is good. I like the rhythm. I know this dance step. Do we really have to learn the waltz? You know, I got the little two-step going. And, you know, and he's like, no, just believe me and embrace the challenge, you know. And, you know, she says, go there. I'm staying here. She's like, give me a report. And it's like, what if it's hard? But then you will have obeyed me. Mm-hmm. Then you will have stepped out of your comfort zone. I'm with you. You have to know that. Step out and do it. I can't tell you how many times I've totally really stepped into this out of my comfort zone to do what God put on my heart. And the more you do it, the more you are aware of his presence. It's just beautiful. So, you know, this isn't just a little thing. This is the way that he wants her to carry her life. This isn't like an experience. This isn't a missions trip. This isn't a like one-time thing. Like, okay, I prayed out loud. You know, no. This is a life posture he wants her to take. This isn't just one little thing, you know. I am determined that I'm going to obey you. I'm going to have a level of devotion and consecration with what I do with my eyes, with my words, what I spend time, with my reputation, how I relate to enemies, how I relate to my friends. You know, I've always taught my kids with their friends. I'd say, you know what? A real friend is someone who makes you better and you make their life better. So even when they were dating, I would say like, okay, are you making them better person? Remember that, like, are you, and are they better for knowing you? Because you can, you know, be with some friends and then afterwards you're like, man, every time I hang out with them, I'm repenting. You know, you don't want friends like that. You want friends, you know, it's just so important. So that everything, you're like, I want to go to those mountaintops with you. I want to go outside of my comfort zone. I want to make a difference. I can feel this stirring in my heart. I'm not satisfied with just you for me. I want a legacy on earth. I want fruit. I want to have fruit for you. Like, I want to bring you some people. I want to live for something bigger than myself. I don't want the things that I serve to be all corruptible things. I want something bigger. It was so cute because I went to my granddaughter's class because she got to be top banana and she picked me to go read a book and I was so excited about this. So I go to read the book with her and we're walking out of the room. She goes, she's all proud and the teacher lets her go with me to go to her sister's class. So we're going and she goes, Nana, are you famous? And I go, she goes, you wrote 2 books, you're famous, right? I go, well, I go, I've gotten to know a lot of people in my life, but to them I'm famous, but you know, not real famous. And she says, but you're rich, right? And I said, well, I said, I have all the riches of Christ, and real riches are things that money can't buy. Like when you have peace in a storm, you have faith to overcome mountains. And I said, and you know what? God has blessed me with a lot of things because me and Papa worked hard, but the real riches are the things that you have that no one can take away from you. You know, and it's just so bright. They're so cute. I just loved that day. But he says, and the maiden's kind of saying, I want to go with you. I want, there's something stirring in me. I want more. And we're going to see. And he says, that's good because I'm calling you higher. I have plans for you. And that has a different application in every one of our lives. I always tell, taught my kids, if you knew the life God has for you, you would never want to be another person. He's got such plans for you. You would never want to be somebody else. And it's so true. You know, he's got plans for you. And we're going to see what happens when she steps outside of herself and out of this wall. It gets so exciting. I just practically cry. It's like, and we're going to see that the next song is expanding love. And it just brings her to such a bigger place. What a great time for this lesson on Easter week, right? That's really good. And then we're going to see transforming love doesn't just expand her, brings her from the caterpillar to the butterfly. And then we're going to see consolidated love, where there's that union of you with the Lord in your life and, you know, where he brings us. It's just a really beautiful thing. So you have to stick with us. Now we have a few minutes. So I just wanted to take some time for maybe somebody to share. Like, I'm going to turn this recording off. Oh, what do you know? Did I even record it? Oh yeah, I did.